Casting on JerusalemCast.com.
Meow. Top 18:83 Sanhedrin. Gemara. We're learning in this Mishnah. This Mishnah taught us two things. First about the Kohen Gadol, and then about the king. Taught us various things that, regarding judging them. Can they be witnesses? Can we judge them? Do we do chalitza? Do we do yibum? Interesting that yibum and chalitza brought in here in the same section as, just thinking about this now, as the laws of can they judge and be judged? Can they be a witness? Can they be a witness against? Can they do yibum and chalitza? As if it's part of the same inyan. Right? If it's something completely, why don't, you know, don't ask all the other questions? Obviously there's a connection in what's going on there.
But why is
maybe you have to do yibum and chalitza before a court. But there may be other things also you have to do before a court.
You do have to do it before a court.
You do have to do it before the Beit Din. So, okay, so we've got a link to the Beit, an obvious link to the Beit Din. But I'm just wondering, is there anything else that they just picked that
but
one out?
Is it a court of three?
Three. Court of three for Yibum Chalitza. Okay, so let's see our Gemara. So the Gemara starts with Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol Dan. A Kohen Gadol judges. Our Mishnah opened with by saying Kohen Gadol Dan V'danin Oto. A Kohen Gadol may judge and we may judge him. Right, that was the beginning of our Mishnah. So our Gemara wants to point out Kohen Gadol Dan. A Kohen Gadol may judge. Pshita? It's obvious. It's not obvious that Kohen Gadol, but there's no reason not to stop him. Why do we bring the fact that Kohen Gadol judges? Like we said before, the Mishnah never brings anything irrelevant unless there's a good reason. Like the Gemara questions it. Why are you bringing something that's obvious? Answer: Danin oto, it's tarichale. Danin oto, we judge him. It's tarichale. It was needed for. It was needed only for the second half. The fact that we judge him was the crucial bit that the Mishnah wanted to tell me. And because it's symmetrical, so we threw it in also. Right? Kohen Gadol Dan, V'danin oto. He's judged and we judge him. It goes together like a pair. So because it goes together like a pair, although we knew one side of that pair, obviously, would have been obvious, we put it in together anyway. So, Hanami Pshita, the Gemara wants to say, it's also obvious that a Kohen Gadol can be judged. Why? The Gemara explains why. Good morning, Rav Yoel. Why it's obvious that a Kohen Gadol can be judged. How do we know that? Brings a logical argument. Ilo dainin in lay. If we cannot judge him, ihu heichi dayen. How can he judge others? If we can't judge him, how can he judge others? That's the argument of the Gemara. The Hakativ, and it's written. Hit koshishu for koshu. Hit koshishu v'koshu. Hit koshesh means to, here translating as to search, hit koshesh, to search yourself. It reflects it. Hit koshesh. Search yourself, v'koshu, and search others. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish explains this, kashet atzmacha, correct yourself, Bahakash kashet acharim, and afterwards correct others. A person has to judge themselves first before they can judge others, says this drush from a quote in the prophet Zephaniah. Not a common prophet, I don't think I've ever. But I actually thought this morning that I still haven't finished reading Tanakh. I'm like really bad on. Zephaniah, I don't think I've ever got to. something that I think we should all do. I'm talking to myself. After, we should all try and actually get through the whole of Tanakh at least once in our life, to actually go to every place in the Jewish world. A person should at least try and get through all of Tanakh, even in just reading it in English, so we can get to these places like Zephaniah, one of the lesser known prophets. He says, correct. I think it comes from the Aramaic of truth. Kosh, I think, kashet, is truth.
To decorate.
To decorate. Yeah.
Kashet, that's
Machaba Kadash. Maybe Russia. So not I to say your birth. No, Russia is in. Right, so here the learning is only after a person corrects himself can he correct others. Meaning only after a person is judged can he judge others. Therefore, it should be obvious that if he can judge. Before he can judge, he needs to be judged. So the argument of the Gemara is like this. The Mishnah told us two things. The Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol can judge and be judged. Judge yourself before you judge other people, right? So first judge yourself, then judge others, right? That's the, we know that. That's the statement that we have, Reish Lakish, learning out, right? So because we know this, first judge yourself and then judge others. Then, this is obvious. Why? Because if we say this is obvious, that you can judge, well, you can't get to judge others until you first do this, until you judge yourself. So this one, if you accept that this is true, then you have to accept that this is also given. If you accept that this is true, then this one is automatically has to be there before you can get to that. Before you can get to this, If you allow this, it means that you already allowed that. This must be true too.
It seems to be two different things.
Right.
The first one is can be judged. You can be judged by others.
Wait, hold on, which A or B?
B.
B
can be judged
yes.
by others.
No, hold on. Can be judged by others. By others, correct. Yeah? Okay.
You can't be changing the B to mean to be first judge yourself.
No.
No, that's the can. That's what's meant by it. Before you can judge others.
No, hold on. Yes, correct.
So it's two different ideas.
No, so you're saying can be judged by others or by yourself?
But
the fact that I'm judged is the key. It doesn't matter who's doing the judging, the fact that I am judged. Okay. So therefore, also.
When it's Reish Lakish, it's not that
hard. Reish Lakish. Gives a support for what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara says you can learn what I'm saying from that which Reish Lakish said. It's not Kilu Reish Lakish is an Amora, so it's not his proof, right? Because we want a Tanaic source really, but it goes along with that thing which Reish Lakish said.
He is a Reish Lakish said. Isn't that Chachamim said something before him?
No. Here we're not arguing with Reish Lakish. We're just bringing Reish Lakish as a third party proof for the proposal of the Gemara. There's not an argument here. And it's here, also, it's really only a drasha. Reish Lakish is not saying that it's a Torah law, that you can't judge others. You're not allowed to be on the Beit Din before you've judged yourself. So there's no, he's just bringing a drosha, if you like, to learn out this thing. So, therefore, so now we've got the fact that apparently both of them are obvious. So why does the Mishnah need to bring them now? He said they're now both obvious. You can learn them both out from basic principles or from other things. So the Mishnah doesn't need to come and tell you either A or B. Ella, rather, it must be the reason why the mission actually brought them for a different reason. Adi de kaba'e lemitne melech lodan velodaninato. So instead, we'll say since the Mishnah wanted to come and teach later on in the Sefer, in the end of the Mishnah, the king, melech lodan velodaninato, that the king, we don't judge him and he can't judge others. Tane nami, the Mishnah taught. Also, Kohen Gadol Dan V'Danin. Right? So the symmetry was not inside itself. The symmetry was with the end of the Mishnah. He wanted to teach you the juxtaposition as opposed to the king, where the king's rule is different. So we wanted to compare the Kohen Gadol to the king. Now I'm teaching you the king. So in comparison, I'm going to teach you the Kohen Gadol. We're going to keep the same format on both sides. That's one possibility the Gemara holds. Alternatively, Hakash Malan, this is what it was trying to teach. Kidatanya, like that which was taught in a Braita. Kohen Gadol, Shaharaget HaNefesh. We have a Braita that teaches us if a Kohen Gadol killed a person, the Mazid. If he did it on purpose, Nerag, he's put to death. Bishogeg, by accident, Gole, he goes to the Miklat, right, goes into Galut. V'over al aseh, v'al lot aseh, if he transgresses a positive or negative commandment, V'arehu k'hedyot l'kol davar, then he is like a common person for everything. Right, he's judged like a common person in all respects. So we've got a writer. So where this is part of the proof, we're not yet there. That's not the conclusion of the argument. But we're still, what we're trying to do, let's just remember, we're trying to have a reason why the Gemara, why the Mishnah brought that initial statement about the Kohen Gadol, that he judges and is judged. Right? Because we got to the point that they're both obvious. Why do you need to say it? So we had reason number one, because it compared to the king. So we only brought, you're right, it's obvious, we didn't need it. The only reason why we brought it, because at the end, the second half of the Mishnah talks about the king. The king is not judged, and we don't judge him. Therefore, for symmetry, it also brought the Kohen Gadol. So then we said that was the first answer. So then the Gemara said, or alternatively, I can give you a different answer. So this is the second answer. And this, we're not yet there. We're just, so in order to bring this second answer, the Gemara first brings us a braita that teaches us about the Kohen Gadol.
That he's like everyone else.
That if he kills, like everyone else.
Not the king.
Not the king.
Yeah.
Right, but he's like everyone else.
Yeah.
Okay. But so that's so far. But before we get to the ikka of the argument, in brackets, the Gemara has a side question. So it says as follows: But Mazin Neherag, if he kills deliberately, then we kill him. Pshita, it's obvious, isn't it? Right? Why not? You think we won't kill him? That you go on killing people and we don't put him to death. So the answer to that point is this: But Shogeg Gole Isterechle. No, you're right. It is Peshitta, but I needed to tell you for the second half that he's put to... that he goes into exile.
Yeah.
Huh?
That depends on the Kohen Gadol.
It's a kind of connection.
There's a connection to your punishment going into exile.
Yeah.
Your Tikkun, that's connected to the Kohen Gadol. So he's going...
Now, but what happens to the Kohen Gadol?
Huh?
So we're talking about Kohen Gadol himself going into exile.
Yeah. Until he dies...
So we're going to say, but they appoint a new one, right? They appoint a new one.
If he's in Gadol?
Yeah. If he loses his position, you need a Kohen Gadol the whole time.
Okay.
So if he's like, you have a scan anyway, right? We know there's a deputy. There's a deputy anyway for if he's having a bad day and he can't get up out of bed or whatever. He's got a deputy. But if he loses his job, we appoint another one. So if he killed, for sure, they would have appointed another one. So the Gemara says, just on this point... Good morning, Rabbi Akiva. I like saying that. Tov. So the Gemara tells us that you're right. I don't need to tell you that if he kills deliberately, that he's put to death. But I needed to tell you the second half, which is that if he kills accidentally, he goes into exile. Hanami Peshita, the Gemara says. But wait a minute, that's also Peshita. Of course he goes into exile. He's like everyone else. Why wouldn't he go into exile? That's also obvious. No, it's tarich. It's necessary for me to teach you that. Why? Salka datcha amina, because you might have thought, hoel v'ketiv, since it's written, v'yashav ba ad mut hakohen gadol, since it's written over there that he has to stay in Gola until the death of the Kohen Gadol, Ema. You may have said, "Kol de itle tekana, tekanta, b'chazara ligle, de leitle tekanta b'chazara lo ligle." You might have said, "Anyone who has a remedy to return ligle, we exile him." But de leitle tekana b'chazara. But if you don't have a remedy of returning lo ligle, then don't go to exile. Right? You might have said that gola, exile, is only for people who can come out of exile. Exile is a temporary status, not permanent status. And if you can never come out of exile, so we can't put you into exile, that's not what exile is about. And a Kohen Gadol apparently can't come out of exile. How do I know that Kohen Gadol can't come out of exile? Well, I don't yet. Gemara is now going to say it's Nan, because we now learn separately here, he's going to tell me, not from there, not from what I just said. From what he's going to tell me now, we're going to learn that Kohen Gadol can't come out of exile.
Yes, then
after he's dead, until he dies.
No, that's not the reason. Because we have another Kohen Gadol who's appointed. So you could have said, until the next that Kohen Gadol, and when he dies, he can come out. It's not dependent. It's not the reason. It's not because he's dependent upon himself, so to speak. The reason is because Ditznan, right? If we continue, Ditznan, because it says in the Mishnah, over the page, Ha'oreg Kohen Gadol, person who kills a Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Gadol Sheharag et HaNefesh, or a Kohen Gadol that kills someone else, Eino Yotzeim Misham Le'olam, never leave there. Person who kills a Kohen Gadol, it's such a heinous crime, or even by accident, right? He's in galut, it was an accident. Or a Kohen Gadol that kills someone else by accident. They never leave there. Ema loligale. Therefore, you could have said they don't get exiled at all. Kamash malan. Therefore, the brighter comes along to teach you that they do go into exile. Okay, let's just finish this section and we'll try and reverse back to what we're trying to learn out. Ve'ema hachinami. But maybe let's say it is true. Ema hachinami. Maybe that's not what the bright has come to teach you. Maybe the truth is the going gadol is not subject to exile. How do we know that he is? Why do you say Kashmalan, that this is what the brighter teaches you? Maybe you can learn the other way. And you can say that he doesn't go into exile. It's a good, valid, logical argument that only people who can come out of exile go into exile. Why do I learn otherwise? Amakra, we learn it from the pasuk. What's the pasuk say? Lanus shama kol rotzeach. Right, the pasuk in Devarim says, the city of exile, city of refugees there, lanus shama, to flee there, kol rotzeach, any murderer. What does that mean? Afilu kohen gadol b'mashma. This implies even a kohen gadol. Kol rotzeach, any rotzeach, implies even a kohen gadol. So,
even though he won't get out.
Even though he won't get out. He goes in even though he can't come out. And therefore, if we reverse back to what we were trying to learn out, the Gemara wanted to teach us the reason why the Mishnah made those two statements. That a Kohen Gadol can judge and be judged. And we said they're both pshita, they're both obvious. We had a separate reason. Okay, the reason why you needed to tell me is because you were telling me compared to the king. And then we said, Ibayatema, alternatively, the reason why I needed it was from here. Hold on a minute. By the way, no, the reason why he can't come out of exile is exactly like you said. Because here, Rashi. Yeah, the top Rashi on the page. Yudchet Amobet, top Rashi on the page. Hahoreg Kohen Gadol, the person who kills the Kohen Gadol, not the Kohen Gadol himself, the person who kills him. Right? Beshogeg, but accidentally. Gole Le'ir Miklat. We exile him to the Ir Miklat. Ve'eino Yotzen, he doesn't come out. Why not? Mishan. Lo'olam ever. Dekevan De'ein Kohen Gadol B'migdash. Kishehu Gole, because there's no Kohen Gadol in the Beit HaMikdash when he is exiled. B'mitat. Miyashuv. B'mitat, Miyashuv. In his death, who can return? B'chen Kohen Gadol, Sha'aragat HaNefesh. And so too, a Kohen Gadol that kills someone else, B'shogeg. B'mitat, Miyashuv. Haleka Kohen Gadol, because there's no Kohen Gadol. At the time, there's no Kohen. You're right, there will be another Kohen Gadol appointed. But what's the rule? The rule is that the death of the Kohen Gadol at the time you go into exile, not at the time the next one that we get to appoint in next week or the week after. Right? It's already too late. There's no one at that time. So because you fell between the stool, so to speak, there's no one that you can get out on. But we still haven't answered the question of why we need these two statements based on that brighter. Maybe it's going to come up. Maybe we should continue to see it's coming up. I haven't seen it. Can you see why so far?
Just have the contrast
between the king. Yeah. No, so that was rule number one. But then it said Ibayatema. Alternatively, I'll give you a different rule. Yeah. And this is a different rule. But so far we just learned something in brackets. We didn't actually learn yet the reason. I think Lineda, hopefully we're going to come on to it, 18b1, we're going to come on to it, the reason why, a second reason why we need these two pasukim in the Mishnah. I don't think it's from here yet. I think maybe... Ah, no, it comes later. It's in the art scroll. It's going to come after the next sugya. At the end of the next sugya, we're going to learn why it was necessary to put these things in the Mishnah. We're not there yet. We're still in brackets. No, apparently we're still in brackets. So go on.
That if the Kohen Gadol can be judged, then he can be put in an ear mikvah, and therefore there will be people who are being judged who are going to be sentenced for life.
But then,
because there's no Kohen Gadol.
But then,
they'll have no way of getting out of the ear mikvah because there's no Kohen Gadol. They have to stay there, and it's too harsh a punishment for some of them.
Okay, but if you're learning out from there, that we learn from here that Kohen Gadol can be judged.
Yeah.
Then it's all, then it's and strength to the argument. Pshita, we have a ruling that he can be judged. We learned elsewhere already.
But we might think that he can't be judged.
Why?
For the reason that we just mentioned.
Ah. And then we've just answered it. Therefore you need this to tell you that he can be judged. Interesting. Okay. Could be. That's nice. A nice Your thought process is working well today. It's very good. Okay. Over al ase va al ta'ase. At this point, the Gemara goes back to that brighter. Remember the brighter, the whole brighter said, Kohen Gadol, what did it say? Bemezid neherag, if he kills deliberately, we kill him. Beshoget goler, if he kills accidentally, we put him in exile. Bovel ase va lo ta'ase, if he transgresses a positive or a negative commandment, he's like a common person for everything. So the Gemara wants to know that part of the Braita, where it says he transgresses a positive or negative commandment. Right? So it's asking on that. Lo sage de lo avar. So it's not such a clear translation as to how we translate these words here. Lo sage v'lo delod avar. So literally it means, is it not enough that he doesn't sin? Lo sage is enough. But here the art scroll doesn't translate it that way. Apparently it doesn't have that particular meaning. Here he translates it as, must he transgress? Kilo, is it a given that he will transgress? It's kind of written in the positive. Va'over I don't like this translation myself. The article wants to say that the Gemara is questioning the brighter as if the brighter is telling us that the Kohen Gadol is going to transgress, and therefore why do you say he's going to transgress? I don't see it particularly in the words.
Could be something like the wicked son.
Yes.
Who's brought in front of the court.
Yes.
It would never theoretically, it's theoretically possible, but it would never happen.
Right. The reason why he says that is because the next part of the Gemara says, Hachi kama, this is what it meant to say. Im ava al aseva al tase, if he transgresses. So by the fact that the Gemara now says, no, this is what it means, if he transgresses, means that you actually understood that the Gemara is saying, no, he does transgress. So that's the pshat reading of the Gemara here is, why are you telling me he's going to transgress? And the Gemara comes back and says, no, this is what it means to say, hachi kama, im avar, if he does transgress. But it's a bit of a strange... I mean, maybe the Mativta there has a different way of explaining that. Let me just see.
Well, I'm not overjoyed with that translation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said the same thing. Right. But why? My point is, why would you assume that the brighter is saying he's going to transgress? It's not particularly written as a definite. The brighter says, "B'mezid neherag, b'shogeg golet." Is you don't question on that. What, you're telling me the Kohen Gadol is definitely going to kill someone? I don't see why the next words, V'over al-Aseh v'al-Taseh, are a definite. That he is going to transgress. For me, they're just as obvious as the beginning bit is a possibility. If you say, B'shogeg ne'rag, it's a possibility if he kills. Nobody questions the beginning bit and say, what, he's going to kill someone? By the beginning bit, it says, B'shogeg, b'mezid ne'rag. When he kills deliberately, he's put to death. B'shogeg goler. When he does it accidentally, he is exiled. V'over al aseh v'taseh, and he transgresses, positive or negative, blah blah blah. It's not so clear that the pshat reading of that Mishnah that you would think is that he has to transgress. There's a Gemara needs to say, what's going on here? He needs to transgress? No, it means if he transgresses. That's like junior school reading of a Mishnah. It's not like a Gemara level, you need an Amorah to come and tell me the true meaning of that brighter. That I would have thought, I would have made a mistake otherwise without the Gemara coming to teach me.
Then you say, when he transgresses, this is the case in the Raisa. If right. He doesn't, then it's not in the Raisa, something okay. else.
Right, but that's how you would understand it anyway. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara takes time to tell me that's what it means. Don't think that it means he has to transgress. It actually means if he transgresses. That's obvious. I know that. Just from reading it, I could have told you that. You need to tell me something that's obvious. You need to tell me something that I didn't know already. That's what the brighter meant.
But the first part of the sentence is the same view.
That's what I'm saying. The first part of the same is the same.
Who happens to?
Right. So you don't ask on the first part, what, you want to tell me all Kohen Gadol kill people? No, it means if he kills someone. Like, the Gemara doesn't say that because that's such an obvious. But it does say it on the second half, which is my problem. It does say it on the second half, and when he transgresses, a positive or a negative. And the Gemara says, you want to tell me he has to transgress? No, don't read it that way. It means if he transgresses.
So you need
Rabbi Yeshua Cohen. You need someone who understands Gemara in a much deeper way to show exactly why it's not clear. Because for us, that's because we don't know anything. But you need Rabbi Yeshua to come and say no. Whenever you see the oseh in Gemara, it's for sure a definite that it's right. Or you need to know how that rosh. Where are you?
End of your chat, the first person we had.
End of your chat.
Over there,
Lekaman, later on, Parich, the Gemara is going to argue, Lost Agi de Lava, is it not, that's what it's going to say. Is it what he has to transgress? Rashi's bringing over here. Apparently, that's the only way I can understand it. The over, you must have the it's a definite. The over means in Gemara language
that's the question.
Apparently, so that must be it. But to you, to my eyes, to your eyes, you read the over, and so I'm told, over, it means, and if he translates it, doesn't he? Sure.
I would ask another question. I would say, why does it say, don't it say in just transgression? Transgresses. Why does it have to say both? Say below, say.
Uh-huh.
Why both of them? Does he have to transgress on both in order to be considered a head note?
Uh-huh.
Is it enough to be
only one?
Or
if I had only told you one of them, you wouldn't have known the other?
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes,
I know.
Both.
One of
those.
All right. Uh-huh. They're all. Okay, so. So the Gemara says no. The actual meaning, hachikama, this is what it means. Imava, if he transgressed, positive or negative. Harehu kediot l'chol davar. Then he's treated like a common person for everything. The Gemara says, pshita. Of course he is. Of course he's going to be treated like a wild one. If he transgressed the commandment, we wouldn't treat him like a common person. No reason to suspect otherwise. Right? If he steals money from you, you can't take him to Beit Din. So why do I need it? Sauka dat chamina. Because you might have thought. Ha'il etanan, since we learned in the Mishnah, ein danin lo et ha-shevet, lo et ha-navi ha-sheker, lo et ha-kohen gadol, ela al-pi beit din shel shivim be'echad. Since we learned in the Mishnah above that we don't judge the tribe or the false prophet or the kohen gadol, ela except in a beit din of 71. Right, you might have thought that actually means everything. He's not treated like a common person for all other transgressions. All other transgressions, you do go to a normal Beit Din of 3. Nachon? But you might have understood the Mishnah to mean that a 71 for everything. Right? If he spits on the sidewalk or whatever, he didn't pay back the 10 shekels you lent him. No, he had to go to a Beit Din of 71. Kohen Gadol. Chashuv. Can't judge him in a Beit Din. No, so that... that's why you would have thought. The Gemara is going to continue, spells that out. Vama Rav Ada Bar Ahava. Rav Ada Bar Ahava said, Kol Hadavah Hagadol Yaviu Alecha. Rav Ada Bar Ahava brings a pasuk that says, Kol Davah Gadol, all the great matters, Yaviu Alecha, they shall bring to you, meaning to Moshe. What do we learn out from that? Devarav Shel Gadol. The matters of the Great One, right, the Kohen Gadol. Right, so you might have thought that all matters relating to a Kohen Gadol are brought to Moshe, brought to the Sanhedrin. Ema kol devar shegadol. You might have said, Ema, you could say all matters of a Gadol, where any matters relating to a Kohen Gadol, you're having a dispute with him, his cat is using your garden as its bathroom, you might have to bring him to the Sanhedrin for that. Kamash Malan. Therefore, we need this brighter that says he's like the common person in all things. Right? We need this brighter here that we're learning now to teach us. Harehu kehedyot l'kol davar. But the Gemara says, wait a minute, but Ema Hachinami, maybe it is true. Maybe it is true that the learning that you should bring all things to Moshe, or the Kol Devarav, maybe it's true that all you should actually bring any matter to do with the Kohen Gadol to the Sanhedrin. Maybe that is a good learning. Why do you decide now to learn out the other way? Answer is Mikativ Divrei Gadol. Is it written Divrei Gadol, the matters of the big one, the matters in the plural? No, it's written Hadavar Gadol, the matter. Right, the matter of death. Right, the big issues are brought to the, he's judged before the Sanhedrin. Kativ. Devar Gadol Mamash. Right? It means only the big, the truly great matter is brought to the Kohen Gadol. Right? The death penalty. So the big matter, but not the big matters. Right? So now that's the end of that sugya. So now that we can go back to see how that answered the question that we were trying to answer, all of that came, that last section came to under the heading of Ibayatema. Alternatively, I can give you a reason why our Mishnah needed to tell us those 2 points. So, what's the reason? The Mishnah needed to tell us that Kohen Gadol judges and is judged. Why? Because it's actually coming to teach us that the Kohen Gadol is judged by a court of three, like everyone else. The current, like Harei L'Kol Davar. The Dan and Danin Otor, you might have. Why do I need? Truth is, what do we learn? We learn initially that this is obvious. You're right. This is obvious. No one's arguing against that. And we learn, actually, we only needed to bring it for this. Because you brought me B, A and B come together, they match. Judge and B judge. And we said, but wait a minute, B is obvious. We learned how B is obvious from Reish Lakish. And then we said, no, I'll tell you why we need B. So the first reason, why do we need B? So why do we need it if it's obvious? Answer one, there was two reasons. Answer one, to compare to the king. The king had a different status, so we needed to show the comparisons. Number two, Ibai Tema, everything else. What was the summary of number two? Summary number two is to teach same as other people, right? To say in all matters. You might have thought that the Kohen Gadol is judged by the Sanhedrin for everything. Right? Because that's a possible learning. You could learn out from that passage of Adabar Alma. All matters of the big one go to the 71. But no. Actually, we need a Mishnah to say that he's judged by others. Judged by others how? Judged by others the same as others, in a Beit Din like everyone else. But not for the death penalty, but for everything else. So this can be judged by others means for everything else. Right, that's what we're talking about. Everything else is judged by others. And that's why it's an Ibai Tema. When we have an Ibai Tema, it means that the Gemara is actually neither is ideal. If either one was ideal, we don't have one answer. Right? The Gemara is saying, why does our Mishnah need to tell us this? Right? That was a question we tried to answer. So it gave us two possible alternatives. The Gemara doesn't need to give us two, three, four, five different reasons. But it needs to give us one reason that's clear. And then we answer the question, why do you need to bring in me? I'll tell you, I'll give you a reason. So why do you need to bring me two reasons? The only meaning in the fact that you gave me two reasons is because neither of them is ideal. If one of them was fine, I would have just brought you that reason. Because I'm not in it for the reason. I'm in it to try and prove this is good. But I'm trying to prove my statement at the beginning, why do I need this? The fact that I've got 500 different reasons is very nice, but it's irrelevant. I don't actually need the reasonings. I just need to be able to prove my original question. So the fact that Gemara, in certain cases, needs to bring me by Itema is only if there's a problem. There's a problem with neither of them by themselves is ideal. Both of them have problems with them. But for Hashem, that's what we have. You know, that's the best. That's the best that we have. We've got another 2 minutes. Should we do a little bit more? I want to take away your time. Steal all your time from tomorrow. Tov, let's jump into the next bit of the sugya. About 15 lines down, two double dots. Me'id, me'idim otof. Right, the next part of our Mishnah says, a Kohen Gadol we can testify. He can testify, he's allowed to be a witness, and we can testify against him. Right, that's the next part of the Mishnah. So the Gemara wants to question that. May id? Question mark? He can testify? How can you say that the Kohen Gadol can testify in court? Why not? Batanya, because I've got a brighter. What's my brighter say? Vehit alamta. Vehit alamta. What's vehit alamta? Vehit alamta comes from the pasuk, which is in Dvarim. The whole pasuk reads, Lo tireh et shor achicha. You should not see your friend's ox, or se'or, or his sheep, nidachin, wandering around, vehit alamta mehem, and hide from it. Hashem tashiv vem laichicha. You shall surely return that lost object. Right, what's the pshat? Pshat is, this is the law that teaches about Shabbat Aveda, returning lost objects. Right? How do we know to return lost objects? It's a mitzvah you have to do. It's a nice thing to do. You've got an obligation, deraita, to return someone's lost object. Why? Because the Torah teaches you, if you see your neighbor's ox or sheep wandering around, do not hide from it. You shall surely return it to him. Okay? You're obligated to by the Torah. So, the Gemara is pointing out something interesting in this passage. Pastor, you want to say something?
Alamta means to ignore. To make yourself blind.
To hide from it, to ignore it.
Okay.
So what the Gemara wants to teach you, you can actually learn out from this passage something different. It's not the pshat meaning is, if you see your neighbor's ox wandering around, don't hide from it, return it. And right, but the Gemara points out the fact it says the hit alamta and you hid. It's the actual, if you read the pshat meaning of the word by word, it means the pasuk says, do not see the ox of your friend wandering around and hide from him, return it to his owner. So what does it mean, and hide from him? So the actual pshat means you should hide from him. It doesn't say and don't hide from him. It says and hide from him. What, you want me to hide from him? But then the next thing, and you should surely return it. So the pshat means don't hide from him, but it actually says and hide from him. So the Gemara dashes out, you can make a drosha. Pa'amim she'atam mitalem. Sometimes you need to hide. Upa'amim she'iatam mitalem. And sometimes you're not allowed to hide. Hakate that, what's the situation? Kohen shehu beveta kvarot. If you find a Kohen, and it's in the cemetery. If a Kohen's walking past the cemetery and he sees somebody left their wallet in the cemetery, he should hide from it. He shouldn't go and do it. He shouldn't go into the cemetery to pick it up and return it. Sometimes you need to hide. That's one of the occasions you need to hide from a lost object. Right? The Gemara is telling you that the Torah is implying into that pasuk there are times to hide and times not to hide. For example, a Kohen Gadol, let's just finish because there's another example. What's the second example? Zaken ve'eino lefi kvado. If it's an old man, meaning a wise person, and it's beneath his dignity, if the harav is walking down the street and he sees that someone dropped on the floor a pen, it's beneath his dignity to pick up the pen and start going around trying to find who this pen is. The ram should leave it and let someone else pick it up. It's beneath his dignity that he's got stuff to do. It's not. That's also a case of hitalamta. You should hide yourself from it. And there's a third one. Or, alternatively, shaitam malacha shelo mruba mishal chaveiro. If his malacha is greater than that of his friend. What does that mean? So the case is, if my returning it would put me out more than my friend. Who's the friend? So either the friend is the person who needs to find it, or someone else. If I'm the chief rabbi, if I'm Rabbi Avadia, and I've got stuff to do, and my searching around, trying to find the owner of the, I'm in the mikveh, and somebody left their keys in the mikveh, and I'm Rabbi Avadia, and I see the key next to my stuff, and it's not worth it for me to do it, because I've got greater stuff to do. That's also an occasion when my friend, he's got less to do. He should do it. I leave it for someone else. Right? He can do the mitzvah shavuot aved. So there are three times lachach ne'emar. Therefore, the pasuk says vitalamta. Therefore, the pasuk says, and you shall hide. So there are times when it's appropriate not to do shavuot aved, even though it's a Torah mitzvah.